Hello, and welcome to the Recommendation Roundtable on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be recommending entertainment options that you might find interesting.
Hi, John. This is Nick Fenner with a pick for your recommendation spotlight. And this will be the first of a couple that I want to highlight from the Comixology Unlimited service, where I think it's for maybe $6 a month, but I might be mistaken, maybe a little bit more than that. You get access to a lot of original content made just for Comixology by different creators, as well as a lot of maybe first or second volumes from different companies like popular trade paperbacks from Boom or Marvel or DC, or in this case, Fantagraphics, that you can read, again, for just the cost of the subscription, and maybe see if you want to continue going further with those series in either digital or print. And I'm going to highlight this one title here, but it's kind of a family of titles that Fantagraphics published, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and has slowly released some of the content since then, but most of these are all available through Comixology Unlimited right now, and this is called Strange and Stranger, The World of Steve Ditko. Now, this particular book is described in the summary as an art book tracing Ditko's life and career, his unparalleled stylistic innovations, his strict adherence to his own and Randian principles, with lush displays of obscure and popular art from the thousands of pages of comics he's drawn over the last 55 years. Now, this book was originally published in 2008 by Fantagraphics, written by Blake Bell, so I think that's who's done the research aspects of the book. And, of course, all the art here is going to be by Steve Ditko. And the previews pages here that you can see show a couple of older black and white Munster type art from Steve Ditko, and fans of his, or maybe, you know, amateur comics historians that know some of the comic history, know that he got his start in a lot of the, you know, independent or budding days of comics, doing these Munster and horror type stories, and then did a time there at Marvel, and then continued into his later life doing a lot of philosophical type comics and critique of comics. So anyway, in this case, it's a 215 pages, probably better to read on a larger either iPad or a computer screen, something where you can read some of the text pieces easier. But again, it's for free if you subscribe to Comixology Unlimited. Otherwise, it would cost about $25. And on the same note, there's a whole family of these books that Fantagraphics did, the Steve Ditko Archives, which look at a lot of the different eras of Steve Ditko's career. Obviously not his mainline superhero work, but a lot of outer space stories and strange tales type content that's really worth looking back at if you're a fan of old comic books or curious about what someone like Steve Ditko might have done when he wasn't drawing Spider-Man. So check these out if you get the chance, available through Comixology Unlimited. Hey John, this is Nick Fenner with a recommendation for the Recommendation Roundtable. This one also comes from Comixology Unlimited. They've got all 10 issues currently of the Afterlife with Archie series, which I don't know for sure because I've never read issues 9 or 10, but I don't think they really finished up the storyline. There's always the threat that there might be more issued sometime, so hopefully that's the case. But anyway, even if you just read like the first one or two of this series, it's really fun. It's a different take on the Archie and Riverdale scene, and in a lot of ways helped to get the current fascination with this sort of dark and more dramatic take of the whole Riverdale story and characters. That's got this renaissance of different Archie material out there on the CW and Netflix and all of that. But a lot of great iconic imagery and artwork from artist Francesco Francavilla. fans of his modern artwork know, he's almost got like this poster-like quality to his artwork. A lot of bold colors and shadows and thick black lines. But really great storytelling. Really horrific type of content here. And for those who haven't read it or are unfamiliar with the property, the essential gist of the story is that Archie's dog dies, Jughead's dog dies, and Sabrina gets involved and casts a spell, and before you know it, there's a zombie apocalypse spreading out from Riverdale. So, highly recommended, rated for teen plus audiences. I'll just read you the basic description here they give for the series. It says, this is how the end of the world begins. Archie and the gang go to where they've never been before, to the grave and back. A horrific accident sets off a series of grim events, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch must try to repair the unspeakable evil her spell has unleashed. Gasp in horror as Riverdale faces an impending zombie archpocalypse in this spine-tingling ongoing series. But be warned, kiddies, this one's not for the faint of heart. So, again, if you've been a fan of some of these Vampironica stories or Jughead the Hunger, or even if you just watched the Riverdale TV series and are interested, definitely check these out. Again, all 10 issues through Comixology Unlimited currently right now. So for a price of $6 a month, you have access to those free to borrow. And I did want to mention, because I skipped over this before, the writer is Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who really, with the success of this series, helped to launch him farther up the career ladder there at Archie Comics and get a lot of that newer content going. So definitely worth the read. John, this is Nick Fenner with a pick for the recommendation roundtables. Another look at something available from Comixology Unlimited, which, as a reminder, is available for $6 a month and provides you access to all sorts of popular graphic novel collections, maybe first couple in certain really popular series, if not at least the first, but definitely kind of a wide spectrum available from different publishers. And with this one, I want to highlight the first two volumes of a series that's really just goofy. And if it sounds interesting to you, I definitely recommend picking it up because it's as fun and goofy as it sounds. This is Angel Catbird. Volumes 1 and Volume 2 are available currently through Comixology Unlimited. There's a third volume that's available for like $8 or $9 on the surface, but definitely check out the first two for sure. It's written by Margaret Atwood, who many people will know from The Handmaid's Tale, and with art by Johnny Christmas and Tamra Bonvillain. And the art is definitely very whimsical and cartoonish, but the basic premise here is a scientist kind of gets roped into this situation in which there's a experimental DNA thing that essentially grants someone like the powers or transformation into a cat or some other kind of an animal, and he happens to be in the unlucky circumstance of having this splashed on him at the time that there's a bird and a cat nearby. So he gets this half-bird, half-cat transformation, and it really just goes downhill from there. The summary kind of describes this first volume as a humorous, action-driven, pulp-inspired superhero adventure with lots of cat puns, and that's pretty much it. All the names, all the little catchphrases of the different characters are all geared around various cat things, and there's some little, like, cat facts that pop up in there, like, what should you not feed your cat, or what about the history of different cat species and things like that? So it's really fun, definitely lightweight, good reading if you're stuck at home right now and looking for something entertaining. The second volume is called specifically To Castle Catchula, and so if you can imagine that there's a cat-bat hybrid character that lives in a castle and ultimately helps the characters to take on their rat opponents. That's exactly what you're in for in that particular volume. And then definitely, if you enjoy those two and want to continue onwards, It's $9 for the volume 3, and that one is called The Cat Bird Roars. And there's kind of a Egyptian-themed story being told in that volume. But definitely check these out, available currently at least, through Comixology Unlimited. This is Nick with a pick for the recommendation roundtable. This is for another look at one of the offerings from Comixology Unlimited, which again is just a refresher for maybe $5 or $6 a month. You can have access to a lot of original content from various creators, as well as read a lot of first couple volumes of different popular series for free. And in this case, I want to highlight Lock and Key, which, of course, written by Joe Hill and art by Gabriel Rodriguez, put out by IDW. I guess at this point, it's probably a little over 10 years old as a series. Definitely very popular and one of those highly recommended series for newer readers. I've only just recently started to read my copy of the first collected edition with the first 6 issues, but seeing that all of these are available here on Comixology Unlimited, I'm anxious to dive in and read a lot more of the series and see if I want to go back and collect some of the other trade paperbacks. And in this case, looks like the first 5 volumes of the Lock and Key story are available through Comixology Unlimited. Basically about 750 pages worth of comics, including all of the various little mini-series that tell the ongoing story. So you've got Lock and Key, Welcome to Lovecraft, Lock and Key Head Games, Lock and Key Crown of Shadows, Lock and Key Keys to the Kingdom, and Lock and Key Clockworks as the current volumes that are available through Comixology Unlimited. Check it out if you've ever been interested in the series. Like I said, it's always on the lists of, you know, top 10 series to read if you're getting into comics, or, you know, highly recommended things by various authors out there. So definitely check this one out if you've been curious, as just for the low cost of a monthly Comixology subscription, you can read all of this content for free. Hey John, this is Nick with another pick from Comixology Unlimited for the recommendation roundtables. This is Usagi Yojimbo Saga Volume Number 1, which was released by Dark Horse back in 2015 to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Stan Sakai's character, Usagi Yojimbo. And at that point in time, they collected in this first volume the issues 1 through 16 of volume 2 of Usagi Yojimbo, which is when he was at Mirage Studios, and also the first 6 issues of volume 3, which is when he moved over to Dark Horse. And so this is a lot of early material for Usagi Yojimbo available if you subscribe to Comixology Unlimited. That's for $6 a month and provides you access to a lot of great material like this. Now, the later volumes in this Usagi Yojimbo saga are not on the Unlimited plan, but there are another, let's see, looks like a total of 8 volumes there, each several hundred pages. In fact, this one is about 600 pages. It would retail on Comixology for about $14 if you were buying it outright. Or again, you can use your Unlimited access to try out this first volume, see if you like a lot of that early stuff. And then if you do, you can continue reading digitally or try to find some of these collected editions in print out there in the wild.
Of men. Ah, yes, only the shadow knows. The infamous words spoken there by Orson Welles in his first radio appearance as the Shadow from back in 1937 was the start of a new The Shadow individual radio program. Earlier, I believe he had been sort of a host of a mystery drama radio program. And I bring up The Shadow and play for you that clip because one of my recommendations for this recommendation roundtable is a collection of old Shadow radio dramas that I came across several years ago on Amazon. Even if you don't find this exact one, there are several out there that gather some of the old recordings from the show. And in this case, if you search for the vintage radio shows, The Shadow, you'll find this particular edition there on Amazon. It's available for purchase as an MP3 album for $9.49 currently. And like I said, it's got 20 episodes, a total runtime of, I think, over 9 hours. And most of these are from that first season of the radio drama, but there are a couple from like season 2 and a later drama that was recorded in the 60s. So most of these are Orson Welles, and then later the narrator was portrayed by Bill Johnstone. So if you've ever been into old radio shows, The Shadow is definitely up there as kind of one of the more fun ones. A lot of murder, a lot of mystery and mystic type stuff, you know, that was very popular in the pulps back in the 30s for sure. And I remember listening to a bunch of these shows. We used to stop in the Cracker Barrels and places like that on family vacations and pick up a new tape or a new CD. And I always used to like picking up the Shadow and listening to one of these dramas unfold. And I always thought it was fun, the idea that they could take, you know, like what would be a written story ordinarily, and then act it out with the sound effects, and then later in life seeing how this was done with, you know, people banging shoes on tables and hitting hammers on things and breaking glasses in the studio. It's just a very entertaining process, and it's kind of funny now that a lot of this has come back with, you know, places like Audible and other companies like that that are making original radio dramas here in the 21st century. So if you're interested, check this one out. I highly recommend it. Like I said, you've got 9 hours of entertainment if you do like them. And if you're like me, looking for some little extra entertainment these days, this is maybe something a little out of the ordinary that you might appreciate.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forum. For this recommendation spotlight, I want to recommend a short 3-issue miniseries that you may not have heard of, but I think it's good enough that I think it's worth your time to find a copy either at your local comic shop or online. And it's a 3-issue miniseries titled Ministry of Space, written by Warren Ellis with art by Chris Weston and colorist Laura Martin, and Michael Heisler was the letterer. Issues 1 and 2 were published in 2001, and issue number 3 was not released until 2004 by Image Comics, and I have the collected edition of all 3 issues in a paperback. This is an alternate history. What if Great Britain gathered the German rocket scientists from Peenemünde base, site of the V-2 rocket launches that attacked England? Instead of the U.S. and the USSR splitting up the German rocket scientists among themselves, the operation was arranged by Air Commodore John Dashwood, who then convinces Prime Minister Winston Churchill to create the Ministry of Space and make him its head. The story alternates between the elder Sir Dashwood, who is called to a meeting in Churchill Station, which is in orbit in Earth, in 2001, and the development of the Ministry of Space over the years. Because of Dashwood's aggressive leadership, the Ministry of Space launches the first satellite in 1948. He also becomes the first man in space in 1950, but the flight does not go perfectly and he's marked for life. In 1952, the foundation of Churchill Station was launched into orbit, and the first British man on the moon occurred in 1957. But all doesn't go perfectly for the Ministry of Space. They do suffer a loss of crew and personnel because of at least one accident at launch, but they do manage to land men on Mars in 1969. The climax of the story is the reason the meeting was called on Churchill Station, involving the mystery of the original source of funding that helped establish the Ministry of Space. Weston's artwork is excellent. It channels the 1950s and 60s style of the various space artists at the time speculating what the future of space travel and exploration would be like. His spacecraft designs perfectly fit the era, but they look like they could actually fly. Despite it being what might be an obscure miniseries, I would highly recommend it to anyone who is interested in space exploration, science fiction, or alternate history, and I would give it an A+. It is available from Amazon or mycomicshop.com, and you can read the first issue online at imagecomics.com and do a search for Ministry of Space. That way you can check it out for free before deciding whether or not you want to put your money down on this series, but I'm pretty confident that when you read the first issue online, you're going to want to read how it ends. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can share our love for pop culture in this time as we deal with this pandemic, and letting us share some of the things we enjoy from popular culture so that others might find a few things that may help them bring a little joy to their day.
Hey, this is James back with my first pick for the recommendation roundtable. And I haven't been doing these because I've been busy, so I don't have a lot of free time. I haven't been sitting at home. My business was open, and I pretty much kept the normal schedule the entire time going into the office. I'm considered essential, where I wasn't just sitting at home. There was a period of time where I wouldn't go into the office very often, but I would go in every so often just to check and make sure things were going okay, some odds and ends. But anyway, the thing that I was going to recommend for those of you guys, and I'm sticking to non-comic stuff because I wanted to focus on stuff outside the norm. And my first recommendation is going to be a video game recommendation, and that is Red Dead Redemption 2. Okay, Red Dead Redemption is, it's basically by Rockstar. This game is interesting because it's a Western story, but I'm not really a Western type guy. Now, the thing that Rockstar Games is famous for is Grand Theft Auto. There's 1, 2, 3, and 4, and probably going to be a Grand Theft Auto 5. Grand Theft Auto has an amazing story, an interactive open world, and Red Dead Redemption 1 came out about 4 or 5 years ago. I honestly can't remember, and then Red Dead Redemption 2 came out last year and for the PC. I'm just getting around to playing it, and it's an open world game, so you can walk around and do whatever you want. You can spend time wasting time playing dominoes, the game where you poke a knife really quick through your hands back and forth. I don't know what that's called. You can spend time playing a card game within the game where you can play poker. But that's really not what I was doing. There's a story that comes along with Red Dead Redemption. And the story that Rockstar weaves in every one of their games is so thoroughly thought out. There's so much dialogue. The world feels alive that you literally feel like you are a character in a Western at this, you know, in this case. You go about, you're part of a gang. You collect weapons, you go on missions, A typical mission may be, you know, stealing something from a stagecoach or retrieving a buddy who's got himself locked up in jail and getting him back to the camp where your gang is, you know, basically moving and staying ahead of the law, staying ahead of rival gangs. There are rival gangs there. And the thing that's really kind of interesting is depending on your interactions, you kind of become a good character or you become an evil character. You can walk around and beat up, rob, kill people, steal their stuff, or you can help people in need when you see them. You know, help them with a snake bite wound, help them retrieve something, see a woman who's getting kidnapped and save her off the back of a horse from some guy who's taking her to who knows where. But I tend to go on the side of good, but you know, every now and then bad things happen, so oh well. It doesn't ruin the game. If you die in the game, it's kind of cool. You just get a little bit of money deducted and you kind of restart, retry. It says you're dead. So it gives you multiple times to retry checkpoints, restart things. You can even skip checkpoints in the game if it's too difficult for you, but the game's not that difficult. The weapon array is really cool. You can end up with a, you know, six-shooter or 2 6-shooters, double-wielded. There's repeater rifles, different types of repeater rifles. There's shotguns, everything from double-barreled to sawed-off shotguns. There's bow and arrows. There's knives, throwing knives. So the assortment of weapons, there's even dynamite and Molotov cocktails. It's just a lot of fun. At one time, you might be a deputy in the game. So it's really cool. And I think what is the word that I would use to describe this game is sprawling. It's a sprawling epic with an amazing story. It's a tale of loyalty, conviction, infamy. And when you become infamous, what that fame leads to ultimately. I'm not going to mess up the story. It basically takes place in the late 1890s after the Civil War. So there's even remnants of Civil War battlefields at certain parts of the game, which is kind of cool. It keeps it authentic. And the hundreds upon hundreds of people that are developers on this game is just amazing because the amount of dialogue, you can talk with any person wandering around through the landscape or in the town. And they may not have a lot of dialogue, but you can interact with them. It makes it feel alive. The reality stems to taking care of your guns. Also, the horseshoes on your horse that you're riding around. You can upgrade your horse, upgrade your saddle, upgrade your guns. It's in-depth as you want it to be, or you can skim through and just do mission, mission, mission. I want to get through this and just focus on the story. So it's up to you, and I love games like this. Rockstar is the best at what they do. If you're a fan of Grand Theft Auto, if you're a fan of Red Dead Redemption 1, you will love this game. And if you've never tried a Rockstar game, I would play it. It's available on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, where I'm playing it on the PC, Xbox Series X, and PlayStation 5. You can play it on any of them. You pick and choose. I will say that, you know, the more powerful systems, it's probably going to look and play a little bit better. But that's true with everything. Even a more powerful PC, it'll look and play a little bit better. Just to give you an idea, I was looking at, you know, like IGN gives it a 10 out of 10. I was looking at Metacritic. Metacritic, they give it scores across the board. It received a 93%, which is a consensus rating. It's sort of like Rotten Tomatoes across multiple review outlets. So this game is loved almost universally. It is worth buying. It's something that everyone should experience if you're into video games. Even if you're not into video games, you may want to try it out because it's kind of cool. People who are saying, oh, play it on a PC, I don't like keyboard and mouse, you can use a keyboard and mouse if you want to. You can also choose to plug in a controller. When you plug in a controller, your PC, Xbox, or PlayStation, doesn't matter, will map all the keys and you can play it just like you would on your console. So I can't recommend this game more. It is excellent. Once again, that is Red Dead Redemption 2 by Rockstar Games. And I would say it's probably PC Game of the Year. Except for one more game that I'm going to shout out a little bit later. So, believe it or not, I have some more picks. Hey, this is James back with another gaming pick. And once again, I'm talking about a PC game. And this one, I'm going to say it's a franchise of games, but it's one particular one that I'm going to shout out that I've been playing and focusing a lot of time because it's the newest iteration. And the series is called the Total War series, and it's developers Creative Assembly. So Creative Assembly creates it, but basically, I buy it on Steam for PC. It's available on other gaming stores, but I buy all my games on Steam. Just, I'm too lazy to download anything else. I like Steam. Just to let you know, as far as I'm looking at the review scores it's gotten, it's weird because PC Gamer gave it like an 80%. Steam gave it a 9 out of 10. VentureBeat gave it a 4.9 out of 5. I give this game a 10 out of 10. But I am admittedly an addict to the Total War series. For those of you who have not played Total War, I don't mean to turn you off by this, but it's a game that it's a lot of work, but it's something I'm addicted to. It's a single player game. It's turn-based strategy with real-time tactics. Okay, so let me explain how that works. So there's a map. There's been all kinds of Total War series, from Empire Total War, Rome Total War, where you're dealing with the Roman days and the Roman maps, Empire. You have the one about Japan. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's like Samurai Total War. I honestly can't remember the name of it. But the Total War series, they take place. They even have the Crusades Total War, or the basically the Dark Ages and stuff like that. But the most recent one is the Three Kingdoms, which is in China. So you choose a faction. There's multiple factions that you can play. You can play the Yellow Turban Rebellion. You can play this character, that character, Liu Bao. I honestly can't. I think it's Liu Bei, Sun Ce, Cao Cao, or some of the generals. There's a whole slew of them. Or you can play the current emperor. And what happens is this is a period of strife. There's been a lot of war. There's factions. There's a system inside of this game where you can build economics, because you need to build up your economics. You have to focus on food. You have to feed your people to make them happy. You have to have politics and interaction with other factions to either be your ally. And yes, you can build allies or coalitions where you guys are warring against the same faction. Or you have enemies, or you can extort people, and you build a military. And based on the buildings that you build, it affords you more types of characters. Now, that's all cool. I'm really addicted to the strategy and the map, and it's something that I'm addicted to. Maybe it's why I went into the military. I've always just been fascinated by that. But the thing that's really kind of cool is the real-time battles. So when I'm talking about real-time battles, I'm talking about 20,000 units on a screen with bow and arrows and spears and swords, and you're able to zoom in all the way to see individual groups and characters cutting each other down and fighting, to zooming out, controlling units, and you can do AI control, but I usually control everything, setting up formations and telling your cavalry to attack their archers that were exposed, and attacking the flanks and sending in your spearmen to, you know, block these guys. It's just really, really cool. I would recommend you go online and check out some of the videos. And by the way, Creative Assembly was purchased by Sega. Now, something that Sega did, which I did not like, is beyond the big Total War games. The big Total War games come out about once every 3 years, you could say. And there are some where there's Warhammer or something like that. It might be Warcraft Total War, where it's just a take on that stuff. I like the more historical ones. But they also have some smaller games, which were quicker releases, like Troy Total War, where you're looking at the Trojan War. But when they went to these smaller games, sometimes they're releasing them exclusively. It's downloads for up to 6 months to a year on other platforms before they come onto Steam. So it's already been released over on whatever game store they're using. So I'm just waiting till this year, and then I'll pick up Troy Total War. But these games are really, really cool. They do have a lot of DLC downloadable content for them. But usually if you wait and you don't buy them when they first released in the first month, you can pick up a, you know, Ultimate Edition or, you know, whatever the special edition is, and it has all that downloadable content. Some of the downloadable content they had for this Three Kingdoms was the Yellow Turban Rebellion, which was kind of fun. There was a Reign of Blood download, which added blood and gore effects. The Eight Princes, which opened up new factions where there's warring princes in the Jin Dynasty. The Mandate of Heaven download, which is coming out this month, which I have not... Or no, actually, it came out last year. I don't think I bought that one. A World Betrayed was another download, and then The Furious Wild. So they just keep having them. They'll probably have more downloads. But this is really good stuff. It's a lot of fun. Once you get into a Total War game, you'll be hooked, and you'll want to purchase more and more and more if you're like me. In this type of game, I typically, if I buy one, I can put easily 100 hours, if not 200 hours into it, just to give you an idea of the scope and the time that you can spend with this game. So another recommendation is for a video game. And I think I'm going to have one more recommendation, which is going to be a non-video game related. Hey, this is James with my last recommendation, and this is going to be a weird one. I am going to recommend that if there's a lockdown in your state, there's another pandemic, one thing to focus on, like I did get caught up on reading trade paperbacks. I did get caught up on reading, the backlog of stuff that I have. I even joined a reading club on the comic book page Slack channel, where there's like five of us that will meet up and we read an omnibus, or we'd read a book or some kind of cool thing. Eric's part of it. Eric from Cowabunga Comics. He'll give you the books really cheap. And so we can all read them and we talk about it. It's kind of fun. But the thing that I'm going to recommend, and this is especially true for people in our hobby, and I don't mean this as a slight, I don't mean it as an insulting thing, but a lot of us who like to read a lot and, you know, us nerds or geeks or whatever you want to say, we tend to focus on the relaxation aspect of our life. And, you know, we get stressed at work and then we want to just sit down and read a comic. And I came to a realization back several years ago. I'm like, it's not really healthy having that sedentary lifestyle and just sitting around and reading or playing video games and going to work. It's not good for, you know, my blood pressure, or it's not good for cholesterol levels. I didn't feel like I had energy. I didn't feel like it just affected me both, I would say, emotionally and physically. So I want to recommend to everyone to, if there's a lockdown, if there's some kind of, where you have free time, beyond the video games, beyond the books, beyond the comics, beyond the movies, beyond the TV, set some time aside for yourself and for your health. And that's not a selfish thing. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for your children. It's for your parents. Because we all want to be there for our loved ones. And we want to be able to enjoy our lives the older we get. And the saddest thing that happens, and I hope it doesn't happen to me, sometimes we have no control and things just happen in life. And that's okay. But I want to be in the best shape I can so that I'm able to enjoy my life when I finally get to retirement. Here I am, I'm 47, I'll be 48 later this year in 2021. But when I get to those years of retirement, let's say 20 years from now, I want to be able to walk, to get on a plane, to go for a hike, to go for a bike ride with my wife. I don't want to be on dialysis. I don't want to be taking insulin shots. And I know that's tough because I know people out there have these things, and sometimes you're born with stuff. And that's why I said, please don't take offense to this. But let's all make a commitment to ourselves. And I made a commitment to myself back probably when I was 39. And I was like, I really got to change my life. I would go for walks and I go for hikes when I lived in Colorado and Arizona. But the walks and hikes simply weren't enough for me. And what I mean by that is I had to focus on my eating. And so I try to eat a little bit healthier. I don't indulge in, I'll have a pizza or have a cheeseburger. I don't do it all the time. I eat very healthy Monday through Friday. My wife cooks very healthy dinners for me. I get meals shipped to my house where I eat them, and they're very health conscious meals. I eat very healthy breakfast. On the weekend, I eat very healthy breakfast and dinner. And at lunchtime on Saturday or Sunday, I kind of give myself a cheat, eat whatever I want, have some fun. I usually don't go crazy and eat like, you know, three pizzas or anything crazy. But if I want to have pizza, I'll have pizza. Or if I want to have a cheeseburger, I'll have a cheeseburger. But then also part of that commitment was, instead of just going for the walks, something that men need to do, we need to do some weightlifting, do resistance training, because the weightlifting builds up muscle mass, which increases your metabolism. As we get older, our testosterone levels go down. Also, our metabolisms go down. And by adding that layer of muscle, your metabolism goes up, your testosterone levels stabilize somewhat. They'll continue to decline as you get older. That's just part of aging. But you need to have that strength along with the walking or the running or the bike riding. Right now, I try to bike ride more than I do run because it doesn't hurt my knees, but I know that's jarring. And as I'm 47, I can go run 3 miles today, but I know that'll take a toll on me down the road. So I do some heavy lifting, but I've scaled that back a little bit. But I lift weights. I do a lot of cardio. I do some cross training, CrossFit type stuff, but I don't do the heavy overhead stuff because I want to save my shoulders as I age. But I want you guys to all focus on the bike riding, the running, the eating healthy, and the resistance training for yourselves, for your family. Be the healthiest person you can be so that we can be here and be living our best lives as we all age together in this thing. So my recommendation is everyone focus on being healthy, and it's not fun and it stinks and it takes time away. And when you're tired, you don't want to do it. So my thing that I did to get myself to do it is when I wake up in the morning, I wake up real early. I wake up at 5:30, and I hate waking up at 5:30. But the reason why I do that is I eat something a little bit because I can't work out on an empty stomach, let it digest, have a little bit of coffee, whatever. Then I go and I work out before work because I know when I get home, when I'm tired, I'm not going to be able to do it. And now I've been doing that every day for at least 8 years, maybe longer. And I'm thankful that I do it. I'm thankful my wife encourages me to do it. And I think everyone needs to do that. Remember, a body in motion tends to stay in motion as we age. If you stay active, you stay in motion, you should be able to keep your health. But a body that doesn't stay in motion, that has that sedentary life, it's going to be harder to move when you get older. You're going to want to move, and you're going to find out, man, it hurts to move. And let's all work on that. And that's not me being preachy. It's just something that I would recommend for everyone, is try and be as healthy a person as you can. So looking forward to the recommendation roundtable and listening to what you guys have. Take care. Bye.
So I finally got enough clips to do another recommendation roundtable, so here it is. I will keep doing them if submissions keep coming in, but I'm going to wait till I've got, you know, about 40, 45 minutes or more worth of clips to put an episode out, and it took a good couple of months this time to do it. So if there's not interest, there's not interest, but, you know, hopefully there will be. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.